Well, two passages, one from John chapter 3 in the New Testament, the Gospel, John's Gospel, and then the other a little later in the New Testament, the letter to the Hebrews, which almost certainly was written to people who had become Christians from a Jewish background in Jerusalem, hence the title Hebrews. And so we'll read John 3 first of all. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth, that is the truth of God's one and only Son being sent to save us, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Then Hebrews 9. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands, that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself. He's talking about after Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day and then later ascended to heaven. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place. That was in the temple in Jerusalem every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Well, does it all come out in the wash? The phrase, of course, whenever I've heard it mentioned, is a kind of phrase people say with their fingers crossed. Crossed behind their back and, one leg in the air or something, whatever is supposed to make it work. It's a sort of a hopeful statement. Sometimes it's with, some sort of degree of conviction in there, but always underneath the surface, it's sort of, it'll all come out in the wash. I hope. I'm sure it will. I hope it will anyway. I'm sure it'll be fine in the end. And all it simply means, if you've not heard that phrase, is, well, it'll all be all right in the end. You picture coming home from, you've been out in the garden or something, or you've been coming home from, or you've seen people come home from playing rugby or whatever, and you may have done that yourself at some time or another, though for some of you it's probably very unlikely. Your clothes are filthy, or, you've been working away in the kitchen and you've splattered stuff all over your front and all that sort. And your garments are stained. And you say to yourself, well, it's all right, I'll just bung them in the washing machine and put in the tablets or whatever you put in your washing machine and put it on. And then it'll all come out of the wash and you take the thing out and bingo, no stains. And we've all seen the adverts, have we not, for every kind of washing powder or gel or liquid or super duper capsule of chemicals. The phrase "it will all come out in the wash" is really just taking an approach to life that is the same approach to laundry, and it's always said with a kind of a hope, because we realise that something has stained life. And that phrase, it'll all come out in the wash, is I've only ever heard it on the lips of people who are hoping that what they have done will come out in the wash. So it's I hope that my faults, failings, the things I've done that weren't right, I hope they won't count against me at the end. Now, people use that phrase, it'll come out in the wash, whether they're thinking of having to face a God who has seen and knows all things, or whether there is no God involved, they're just, you know, in the end, it'll all come out in the wash. The question is, are we really like laundry? Is it that simple? Do things just all come out in the wash? Is that sort of slightly sort of desperate hope that it'll all be okay in the end, that my sins won't count against me? You know, maybe I've done enough good things to wash them away, or you know, maybe they weren't really that bad, or maybe time itself will somehow or another eradicate them and clean my life up. That comes from some element of conscience which recognizes that well, I've done something wrong. Now, one of the ways that our society has shifted over the last, sort of, say, 25 years, 30 years, is that we now have a society which, and it's not just there's a generation growing up who think this, and everybody over a certain age doesn't think this. Actually, it's something which appeals to people of every age. And it goes like this. If I've done anything wrong in my life, it's not my fault. It's other people's fault. So it's either the fault of the state, or it's the fault of my education, or it's the fault of my parents, or it's the fault of the other people at work, or it's the fault of the neighbours, or it's the fault of the government, or it's the fault of the council, or it's just always someone else's fault. And what we have done is we've effectively kind of removed the notion that we can actually be, our lives can actually be stained through anything that might possibly be held against us. Because it's someone else's fault. But that doesn't work, does it? Because we know that there are things that we have done or said or not done and not said, and we have responsibility for that. And in actual fact, if you're constantly taking away the responsibility from people, you do down human dignity. You don't raise it. You eliminate human dignity. Because so much of your dignity comes from the fact that you can choose. So if everything questionable, dodgy, bad, anything that God might have a problem with is somebody else's fault, not mine. And what about the good things? Whose credit are they? You see what we're doing? You see what I said? We want all the credit, none of the blame. If there's anything good, thank you. If there's anything bad, it was my teachers, my parents, whatever. It was the system. Well, okay, there are senses in which all of us have suffered at the hands of others. Yes. But that doesn't wash everything away. So what does the Bible say? I mean, let's just sort of front up the fact that there are stains all over the clothing, you know. The kit is filthy. Will it all just come out in the wash? Well, the Bible's answer is no and yes. Will it all just go away in the end, and will God just say, hey, it didn't really matter, and, you know, I know, I understand, you forget about it, you're only human, that's okay. Is that the kind of thing? Well, the Bible says to that, no, that is not the case. That somehow it won't all just disappear. In fact, the Bible says, it's God who says that that is a stain and that is a stain. It's not just actually part of the pattern of the fabric. That's actually a stain. It's God who says that. And it's God who has been offended by our sins. They are primarily things that offend God. And they don't just go away. There is a day of reckoning There is a day of judgment. There is a day when God will judge all people, the hearts of all, and he will judge them by the one he raised from the dead, by Jesus. And so how we think of Jesus is going to make the difference in the end. Now, that means that if we refuse Jesus, we're going to have to stand before God. If we refuse Jesus as Savior and Lord, we're going to have to stand before God carrying our sins ourselves. And we have refused the person who is the Bible's yes answer to everything coming out of the wash. We've refused the one who the Bible says is the only one who can cleanse us from sin. So the Bible doesn't say, hey, nothing really serious wrong, no sins, it was all somebody else's fault. No, the Bible says we have sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned. Yeah, sure, we've been sinned against, but we have all sinned also. And we've sinned against God. And that matters. And so justice matters and judgment matters. Offense is real. So if we refuse the great cleanser of our souls, the great purifier of our souls, if we refuse Jesus, then it won't come out in the wash just because of time. It won't come out in the wash because God doesn't really care about things and we'll just turn a blind eye. That would not be a just God. The only way it's going to come out in the wash, the only way my sins will come out in the wash, is because Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary to cleanse me from sin. That's what the Bible says, 1 John chapter 5. And verse 7, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now that's what Jesus was talking about in John 3, and John was talking about, and what the writer of the Hebrews was writing about in Hebrews chapter 9. If you believe in Jesus, verse 16, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. Verse 21, whoever lives by the truth, that is, that he has been sent to be your Savior. Whoever lives by the truth, that is, if you believe in him, do the truth, then you can come out into the light because you're living before God and you're okay to live before God. But if you say no to Jesus, then your sins will count against you. They won't just come out in the wash. They'll count against you. That's what the Bible says. Whoever believes in him, verse 18, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is about the least culturally acceptable part of all that the Bible says. But God actually will judge. And it is entirely, you know, he's God. He can do what he likes. And he doesn't like sin. And he can't just turn a blind eye to it. He cannot say that sin does not matter. And actually, if you just think for a moment, are you not glad that there is a God who does not say sin doesn't matter? Because we know it does. And what kind of God would it be who just basically couldn't care less? So, sin matters. And sin doesn't just sort of evaporate with time. The stain sticks. There is only one cleansing agent. But there is one. And that's Jesus. And when we turn to him and we say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. I'm sorry, I repent, I turn from them. Forgive my sin. Then he does. And he wipes it clean. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah had a lot to say about this kind of thing from God. And he said, though your sins are as scarlet, you know, bright red stain, they will be white as snow. White as snow. You know, think of all those Daz adverts of, you know, holding up polo shirts and white t-shirts. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Now, Isaiah was looking forward to the one who would do the cleansing, and it was Jesus. Now, here's the thing. None of us can escape that judgment. In the Hebrews passage that we've got there at the bottom, verse 27, just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. So I mean, it's as certain as that. You know, statistics on death are very good. One out of one person dies, as C.S. Lewis once said. It's going to happen to us all. None of us are going to be able to cheat death. And the Bible says that as day follows night, so judgment follows death. If you can be certain about one, you can be certain about the other. If one's going to happen to you, and it is, so will the other. But you see what the rest of that sentence goes on to say? So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. We will die. We will face God and be judged. There will be a judgment drawn, an opinion given. But there is a way to face God on judgment day, clean as a whistle. And it's by faith in Jesus. And his death for you on the cross to bear away your sin. So, will it all come out in the wash? No. Will it all just be all right in the end? Depends. If you're trusting Jesus, yes, it will be. It will be all right in the end. Because he will have cleansed you from your sin. And that's the wonderful good news. That's the good news of the gospel. That we can face life and death knowing that judgment day is sorted. Not because of us, but because of Jesus, in whom we are called to trust. And then that makes all the difference, you see, in life. And it makes all the difference when you're approaching death. Let's pray.